Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Tzadi Vav and Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with the statements that I made yesterday. Yesterday, we had a statement by Rabbi Bar Eloi. Rabbi Bar Eloi said that a klicheres, a tanur, klicheres, shehusku, with the fats inside of it, can never be cleared out forever. But we had a braita that said otherwise. The braita says you can clear out the fats from that. So the Gemara concluded, diyufta, that's a very strong question against Rabbi Bar Eloi. Then the Gemara says, well, if that's true, then why do we subscribe to Rab's position in Pesach? Rab's position in Pesach is that kli cheres can never be kosher. We can't kasher the kli cheres on Pesach. Well, if the Braita says you can be machshir them, then why can't Rab say you can be machshir them? So Gemara gave two answers. The first answer was that the Braita is talking about kli matechet. Well, if that's the case, then even Rabbi Bar Eloi could explain the Braita. On the other hand, the second answer of the Gemara was, it depends on how you kasher the kli cheres. Depends if you do it mi bifnim or mi bachutz. If the firing of the kli cheres and the absorption are on the same side, for instance in a tanur, you heat the tanur on the inside and you cook in there, the absorption is inside the tanur. There you're able to kasher it. On the other hand, with a typical kli cheres where the firing of the kli cheres is from outside, the heating source is on the outside, the absorption is on the inside, there you're unable to kasher it. Gemara says, why not? Just heat it on the inside. Turn it upside down and cook it on the inside. The Gemara says people are afraid that it will explode, it'll break. So therefore, they will not apply the right amount of heat to clear it out, and we don't allow them that option. So the Gemara now asks, in the top of Tzadi Vav and Aleph, Elik Derosho Mikdash, Amai Yishbiru, or Amai Yishavru. Why is it that the Derot and the Mikdash should be broken? Nahadrinu the Kibshonot. Let's put them back in the kiln. We can refire them in the kiln and basically clean them out by having them being refired. Why are we breaking them? If the option is to break them or refire them, take the risk and refire them. Meaning if they break, if they explode, okay, fine. The alternative that the Torah is offering you is to break them. So either way, they're going to be broken. So why not go ahead and refire them and fix these kelim up? Because the other places we're afraid people won't take the proper risk. Right, but we don't trust the people there. We're leaving it in the hands of people. We don't want them to have that subjective decision of how hot it has to get. In the Mikdash, we have Kohanim Zrizimim, we have the Chachamim there. We're assuming that it will be done right in the Mikdash. Outside of the Mikdash, we're worried about leaving that in the hands of the people to heat it up to the point where it clears it out. Ain Shvut B'Mikdash, that's also true. But for the same reason, Ain Shvut B'Mikdash is because we trust the Kohanim, we have the Kohanim Zrizimim. So here Rashi says, how kim de tamo? He says that we already established that the reason you have to break the clay on Mikdash, the reason you have to do everything here is because aluahui. That's because things have been absorbed. Aluah bishul kapid kra. The pasuk's not worried about the bishul itself, but rather it's worried about the bliyah. Well, if we know that it's a bliyah, then we don't have to say it's a gzeret hakatufi. If we just said that bishul was enough to force you to break the clay, then it has nothing to do with the absorption of the clay, and then asking the question here would be irrelevant. Because you're asking a question, wait, if the Torah has a gzera katuf, you cook in the kli, you have to break it, go and fire it again, what does that do for you? It does absolutely nothing for you, because it's not about the absorption, it's about this gzera katuf. So Rashi says, the Gemara's concluded at this point, that it's not a gzera katuf. And the reason you need to kasher in the Mikdash is simply because you need to kasher. Like any other keli, outside the Mikdash, you need to kasher because now you have no tar, you have a korban that's absorbed in the walls of this kli. And since that's the case, you want to eliminate that bliyah that's inside of it. So now, in the Mishkan, you wouldn't have such a question. Why? Because Mishkan, they were traveling around, and they couldn't make kibshonot. They couldn't make large kilns. Kilns need a fixed location. They need to be built up. So in the time of the Mishkan, they didn't have that opportunity, and therefore the Torah says in Tzav, that the kli cheres yishaver, that the kli cheres should be broken. But now that we're in Yerushalayim, we're in the Mikdash, and we have the ability to set up a kibshan, why not do that? Let us put up a kiln and refire these objects in order to see if we can kasher them. That would be the best solution over here. So the Gemara says, Amar Abzera lefisha eno sim kibshonot b'Yerushalayim. There is a takana, right? We had this in Bava Kamma, the takanot Yeshua, takanot Ezra, that we don't put kibshonot, we don't have kilns inside of Yerushalayim. It's not the appropriate place for it. And therefore, since we do not have those kilns inside of Yerushalayim, we'll be unable to do this, because your kli cheres has to be yishaveres b'tocha kodesh, inside the azara. They don't permit you to take it out of the azara in order to rectify the situation. So the kibshan would have to be mamish in the azara, right near the kodesh or in the kodesh, which is something that we would not tolerate in these situations, and therefore there's no question because it's just not a practical solution to the problem. Tosafot over here says, Atema, my kashale, He says, what's the question of the Gemara over here? Atarmi de Shvira, la mishum bliya, havya el gzeret ha-kaduf. Thus it starts with the other position. Rashi said that the question of the Gemara is based on the fact that it's not gzeret ha-kaduf, it's all about bliya. And if it's bliya, then of course we can clean it out. And that's why the Gemara is asking the question. Thus says, what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara never concluded that bliya was the issue. Maybe the whole thing here is gzeret ha-kaduf that deals with bishul. So then he brings down the Rabbeinu Tam, which is the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, is that when you fire a kli, Rabbi Tenu Ayah Omer, Kishuhusku Nasilku Kelim Chadashim. When you free fire a kli, it's as if it's a brand new kli. That's the answer over here. It doesn't matter if it's a Gzeirat HaKatuv. The Gzeirat HaKatuv is you have to break it. It can't be the same kli you had before. Well, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you refire the kli, it is a new kli. The old kli is gone. The old kli is broken. The new kli now exists. We know throughout Shas, the Gemara always says that when it comes to Kli Cheres, they can never be polite to all the absorbents that are there. There is no way to kasher Kli Cheres. And over here, the Gemara is offering you the alternative to refire it. So why should refiring it work when the Gemara says in everywhere else in Shas that there's no way to get it out? The answer is that here, we're doing something that makes it into a new Kli. The problem of when we say that you can't get it out of the walls, that's when you have the same kli. No matter how much you heat it up, in terms of boiling it or trying to fire it underneath, that won't work. If you re-enter it into the kiln and you make a new kli out of it, that will change it. Then won't be in the dofnot because there is no kli here anymore. It's a totally new kli. It's a new face. It's a totally new kli. If you're talking about a new kli, then of course the other one's broken and now we're talking about a new kli. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's answer to this problem. Although in the end, Tosva says, "B'nir lefarish the machash yitira katuv kli nechoshet b'mika u'shtifa." The fact that the Torah permits you to continue to use kli nechoshet with mika u'shtifa, u'b'kli cheres lo hitir, shmamina the tam mishom bluahu. Why should there be a differentiation between kli cheres and nechoshet unless the issue is absorption? If the gzer the katuv is that if you cook in it, you got to do this, then they should have the same din. Kli cheres and copper or metallic klilim should have the exact same din. The fact that they have a different din shows you that the issue at hand here is bliya, is absorption. And because a kli cheres can't get it out, whereas a kli nechoshet can't get it out. V'zeh yotzeh mideh dofno, v'zeh yotzeh mideh dofno. U'bishu b'lo b'lua ton shvira. Now based on this, bishu without bliya requires shvira b'zeh sevar lomar l'fi sheyachmir bo katuv l'choshvo kabalua. The Torah wants to classify it like balua, and therefore requires shvira. B'davko b'hagala, eno yotze mito nofno, avo b'chuzra kimshanot yotze. So the reason over here that you need kli cheres needs to be broken is not because the whole issue here is blia. And if you have blia as the issue, then you can of course go ahead and refire it, and you have kelim chadashim. Ah, what about my question about the fact that it seems that there's a gzeret ha-katuv bishul over here? It says that's unique to the kli cheres. We don't ask that question by the metallic kelim, but by kli cheres, since the absorption is so strong, we say even in the case of bishul, the Torah says break it. Because we're just afraid of any absorption whatsoever, and the Torah says just break everything. Anything to do with the kli cheres, break it. So now, if that's the case, we can still use this idea of refiring it and make it into a kli chadash. Again, the Gemara says the only time that you can't get it out of its walls, if you do Hagolah. But if you refire it, there is a way to get it out of the walls. And the reason the Torah didn't give us that option is because it wanted to teach the Chiddush of Shvira. We would think that Shvirat Kli Cheres would not be sufficient. Like by the copper kelim, we require Mikan Shtifa in order to remove the flavor of the Kodshim totally from the world. Maybe too by Kli Cheres you'd have the same thing. By Shvirat Kli Cheres, yes, it ruins the Kli, but the flavor is still in the world. So maybe Shvira wouldn't work. Along comes the Torah and says, Shvira is sufficient by Kli Cheres. Right, so now the Gemara continues. Amar Abaye, v'chi asin ashpatot ba'azara? So what's the alternative? The alternative, you don't want to make kilns in the azara. So now what you can do, you have to break the kelim in the azara, and then you have piles of shards of kli cheres slitting around in the azara. So now you can have a ashpa instead of a kiln in the azara. Why is that a better solution? We don't have piles of ashes, and we don't have piles of shards because of the braita that he forgot. Yishtamate had the Tana Rav Shmayo. He forgot the braita of Rav Shmayo, the Kalonbo, that's the name of a city. Rashi over here claims that it's the name of a city that equates to something Nishayayu, which is Keres Nevo. It's a city of Avodah Zarah. Remember, the Rabbeinu Tam talks about this idea that you're allowed to, when they rename cities, they name them with something that was negative. So here we have Keres Nevo, which would be like the ripped or crashed Nevo, and over here it's Clone, the embarrassment or the exposure of Nevo. So these may be negative names that are associated with the Avodah Zarah. Shivrei Klicheres Nivlain Bimkoman. The Shivrei, the shards of Klicheres are absorbed into the ground. That's one of the Nisim of the Mikdash. Similar to the ashes. The ashes in the Beit HaDesh that was right next to the Mizbech by the Mitzvah called the Kevesh, that was absorbed into the ground also. There weren't piles of ashes on the floor because they got absorbed. There aren't shards of Klicheres because they were absorbed into the ground. So that's not an issue. No, the Kivshanot would not be absorbed into the ground, but the Klicheres would be, so therefore it was okay to do it in this manner. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah Avot. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah Avot, although the Mishnah Avot lists 10 items, not all of which are relevant to the Mikdash. It says, Asara Nisim Ayuba Mikdash, and some of them are with Yerushalayim. So the Gemara in other places replaces those that were in Yerushalayim with things that actually happened in the Mikdash. That Gemara replaces them, and this is one of the things it replaces, that about Yerushalayim replaces with something from the Mikdash. El Dad Amar Rab Nachman Amar Rab Ravua Tanur Shul Mikdash Shomatechet Ava Navet Decheres Desikol Bifnim. All right, well now we're back to the original question, which was, if you remember, the Gemara challenged and said, listen, there's a metal oven in the Mikdash. Why is there a metallic oven in the Mikdash? Because we need to kasher it. Well, now you just have proved to us, or you just showed to us that based on Rav, you're allowed to kasher a kli cheres oven. You just have to fire it from the inside. If you can fire it on the inside, why do we have a matechet oven? Why not use an oven of kli cheres? Where it says, given the ikos shtei lechem, the lechem apanim, the afiatan betonur, ukudushatan betonur, avile kli sharet. The problem here is not a problem of kashering the oven. The problem here is that we need the oven to be a kli sharet. We need the oven to be a kli sharet because the shtei lechem are cooked and baked inside of it. The lechem apanim are baked inside of it. And truthfully, you could also say that the mincha mafet tanur is also cooked inside of it. Those who says the Gemara here doesn't mention it because that's worked out from the shtei lechem, the lechem apanim. But all these items that are baked inside of it, they leave absorption and they are nitkadesh of the fact that they are put in there. This is the kli sharet that's mikadesh these items. Ah, so what? So that is a kli sharet. Why does that make a difference over here? No, but it's unique to a sota. That's a very special situation because she also brings a carbon mincha made of sorim, which are not found in the Mikdash either. Those mine don't end up in the Mizbeach, so that probably wouldn't be a cliche, right? But even if it was, I don't think I'd bring it right. Sota's all the exceptions. She brings a mincha of sorim. She'd be a klicheres instead of a cliche right, that's made out of gold and silver. I would less likely to see that as a question because it's such an exceptional case. So when it says klisharet the cheres lo avdinon, we do not make klisharet. We don't make klisharet out of cheres. Ba'afilu Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Sukkah, who says that you can make klisharet out of wood. Lo kamar el te'etz. He says only wood is sufficient. There he's talking about the chalil. The chalil can be made out of wood, not just metal. Aval cheres lo, but he would not permit you to do it with klisharet. So therefore, the problem with the oven is not the absorption issue. It's not an issue of kashering. It's simply one issue, which is that it has to be a klisharet. If you have to be a klisharet, it has to be out of wood or metal in order to classify or qualify as a klisharet. Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda have a ragu kamei de Rami Bar Chama. So Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda learned by Rami Bar Chama. But then he switched yeshivas. He decided that he wanted to change his yeshivas, go to a new place. He starts learning by Rav Sheshet. Yom Echad Pogobe. One day he bumped into his old Rosh Yeshiva, he bumps into Rami Bar Chama. Amalei, Al Kafto Natan Biyad Recho Atala Liyad. She says, this is an expression, it's a bitui, that if one holds the hand of the nobleman, do you think you will absorb the perfume of the nobleman? I mean, just because you hang out with great people doesn't mean that you're going to be a great person. So that's what he's saying to him. That you think, just because you think you're in front of Rav Sheshet, therefore you're going to be like Rav Sheshet? I mean, that you think because Rav Sheshet is a big gun, and you hang out with him, you're going to be a big gun like Rav Sheshet? No, you should have hung out with me, and things would have been good. So he says, Amalei, la mishum hochi. He says, that's not the reason. I'm not doing this because of Gaiva or Kagase Ruach. I'll tell you the reason. Mar could be in a milta. You, when I ask you a question, positively misvara. You answer me from a logical argument. Right? You have such a strong mind. He's a harif. He's okir harim. He's able to just give me a svara to answer the question.
Kimishkach
na matnito. Then when I find a brayta that is against your position, parchala, and now I'm left to the problem because I have a pircha. I've used an amora. I have a brayta that's from a Tanaic work. A Tanaic work trumps, even though, you know, you gave me an answer that was logical. You gave me a svara. Rav Sheshit, kabina milta minei. Rav Sheshit, when I ask him a question, pashali me matnita. He answers me with a brayta, with a Tanaic work. So therefore, he's more like the Tamara Chitaya. He's the one who has all the girsa in front of him, and therefore he's able to answer me with a brayta. Well, if he answers me with a brayta, I'm in better shape. If I find another brayto pircha and it's a question, matznita matznita, it then becomes two tanaim arguing, and that would give me makriya like one of them based on my rebbe. Samalei, buy me a milta d'ishu d'chaki matznita. Ask me a question, I'll answer you it, and it'll be just like the brayto says. So sure, he gives him a test. He says, buy me a bishu b'miksat kli taon miriko shtifa ein taon. So the way Rashi terms the question over here is that he heats up an item, but he only cooks part of the item or part of the pot. Seems like that he didn't heat the whole item up, he didn't kick off in the whole pot. So only a portion of the pot had bliya in it. Do you require marika shtipa on the entire pot? Or is marika shtipa sufficient in the location where the absorption happened? Which do we require over here? That was his question to him. Avalei, ein ta'on, it does not require marika shtipa on top of the high pot. Mi the hava azah. It's just like hazah. Hazah is when the blood of the chatat sprinkles onto the beged. What do we see in the Mishnah there? It's only the location where the beged had the blood on it. You have to launder. So he says the same thing here. So he says, back to him, Avalotan Achi says that didn't we don't have a brayta that says that. I'm like, Mistabra, ke beged. Ma beged, eino ta'un kibus, elo amakom adam, afkli, ein ta'un marika shtifa, elo amakom bishul. Therefore, we should argue that it is the same. Beged, I have a Tana, I have a Mishnah. Mishnah says beged only goes in that location. And now we should say the same thing that is true of the Kli Sharet. So first he said to him, here, you know, you have a Svara. Then he says to him, Balo Tana Achi, we don't learn that way. He says, but I have a Mishnah that supports me. The Mishnah says that a beged only works on that location. So too, the Kli Sharet, you only have to have Mirka and Shtifa on that location. So he says, well, the problem is, Amalei midomi. He says, first of all, your logic isn't good. Dam lo mifapeya, bishul mifapeya. Bam dam doesn't spread. It doesn't just flow through. There's no heat source there. It doesn't cause it to permeate or expand its influence. The dam is in the location that it's found. You wander it, you wash it out, it's gone. That's not true of a heated object. The heated object, the item expands or moves through the pot, and the flavor spreads without. So if that's the flavor spreads everywhere, then you're going to have to do mirkan shtifa over the whole thing. That's number one. Votanya. Number two is I have a brayta. Chomer ba'azah mimrika u'shtifa, v'chomer mimrika u'shtifa ba'azah. We have chumrot between each side, and that is chomer ba'azah shazah yeshna b'chata'ot achitzonot u'b'chata'ot apnimiyot. That when it comes to the dam getting sprinkled onto the beged that requires kibus, that applies both to chata'ot achitzonot and the chata'ot apnimiyot. V'yeshna lifnei zrika, and it applies or has application before zrikat adam, before the kapara takes place. Mashein came b'mrika u'shtifa, b'mrika u'shtifa, chomer b'mrika u'shtifa, sh'mrika u'shtifa noheget, ben bo kodshei kodeshim, ben be kodshim kalim. At least according to the Tana Kama, it applies not only to kodshim kodeshim, but also to kodshim kalim. Bishel b'miksa dakli, ta'on mrika u'shtifa, kola kli, mashein came b'azah. Here an explicit writer that says that if you only have the bishel on part of the kli, then you do require mrika u'shtifa over the entire kli, not like the beged for the hazaa, when it's on a portion of it, only requires a cleansing of that part. He says, Amalei, Tanya, you trumped me. You're right. If it's a brayta, it's a brayta. And Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yehuda, made his point of why he's learning by Rav Sheshet and not by Rami Bar Chama. So Gemara says, with time am I? What's the reasoning? All right, now we have a brayta that says it, but what's the reason that it's different than by the blood? So Amar Krov. You also did give a svara. Tosfos is going to question the svara. We'll see in a second. The svara doesn't really make so much sense. We'll see that in a second. But the ultimate trump was the brayta, which is that he has a brayta that explicitly says that it's not true. So it says, "V'tayim amai." What's the reasoning that this is true? I'm a kra. V'im bikli nechoshet bushala, v'afilu b'miksa kli. I'm assuming the Gemara is playing on bikli. So in a portion of the kli sharet nechoshet, even though that's probably the proper grammatical way to say it, but nevertheless, im bikli nechoshet bushala, v'afilu b'miksa kli. That's what the Gemara is learning. So even in mix of the kli, you require mikra and shtifa over the entire kli.
That's clear for the Muslim that it has to be the entire kli.
It's not, the whole limud to me is not clear. I don't know what bikli means either way. What else are you going to say? Even if it was on the entire kli, how would you say that in the pasuk? In bikli nechoshes, bushallah. I mean, there's no way to say it otherwise. I don't have a good answer. Bottom line is the Gemara has an mesorah that that's the case. Because otherwise, it's grammatically the right way to say it. That they obviously have a mesorah to interpret it in this way. That the bikli means partial kli, and rikud shtiva means the whole kli. I think that's the only way you can say it. Alright, so Tosfos over here says, bishul mikzat. If you look at that, tema. This is logic, right? You said he gave him a logical argument. But listen to this. Maikim vayle. Oh, my sakudatcha, the Rabbi Yitzchak. Isha miksa de kli ala esh. If only a part of the kli is on the fire, shemash bo cham, and that heart is hot, shar kli tzonein, kami vayle, imkein, my kamar bishul mifapeya. Mifapeya is only true when there's heat across the whole kli. You only talk about spreading of flavor where the heat expands throughout the whole kli. So if only half the kli is hot, then what's the logic of mifapeya? And v'ibish akol kli cham, shita de mifapeya kli. And if the whole kli is hot, then what's the question? Why Rabbi Bar Chama ever thought that it isn't spreading throughout the kli? So it also says, I don't understand what the two tzadim are over here. What's the case? What's the issue here? So therefore, Tosas almost drops the logical argument against him because he says, I don't understand. Either it's obvious, and Rabbi Bar Chama should have said it spreads, or if it's cold, then why is he saying that it does spread? The other point that Tosas makes is that Mirka and Shtiva also have another chumrah, which is that Mirka and Shtiva happen achar Zrika. Whereas by the dam of the beged, if it sprinkles after Zrika, the mitzvah tanat state, and there's no problem. So Tosas says, why don't they mention that as a chumrah from Mirka and Shtiva? He says, well, maybe that's not a chumrah. The only time it's a chumrah is before kapara that it does something. After kapara, that's not considered a chumrah anymore. So that's how Tosas answers that problem. All right, let's continue with the Gemara now. Echad kodshei kodashim, echad kodshei kalim. So this is our Mishnah. The Mishnah, the Tanakama says that it's kodshei kodashim and kodshim kalim. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it only applies to kodshei kodashim. Tarabanan, chatat en liya chatat. Kol kodshim minayin, tamalomar, kodesh kodashim hi. Yochoshani mirabeta truma, I would include even truma, tamalomar ata, prata truma, dibri Rabbi Yehuda. Right, the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda is the Baal Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon says, no, include kodshei kodashim, and we include Kodshim Kalim, we just do not include Shuma. Now, how does this work? What's the limit over here? We have two miutim. We have a miut of Kodshim Kodashim, he, that's number one, and we have another miut of Ota. So you have two miutim over here. Now, the pasuk started out with the word Chatat. So if it's a Chatat, we know it's a Kodshim Kodashim, he. So what does Kodshim Kodashim, he come to exclude? Then number two, on top of that, you have another miut, which is the miut of Ota. So now, if you have two miutim here, what do you do with the two miutim? So Tosa says it's ke'ein, ein miut achar miut elo l'rabut. You'd only need the ota to be ma'ayit something if the kodshei kodashim are excluding something but also including something. So what does that mean? That means that if I start out with chatat, if it was solely chatat, then there'd be nothing to talk about. What do I need two miutim for anymore? So what is it? Well, I say chatat kodesh kodashim hi. Kodesh kodashim here is that I include all kodshei kodashim. Now I say he is an exclusionary term. Well, if he's an exclusionary term, it says kodshei kodashim only and nothing else, then why do I need another miut of ota? If kodshei kodashim are excluded, then of course truma is excluded. There's nothing else to exclude. So it must be when it says kodshei kodashim hi, means kodshei kodashim, yes, and even including kodshei kalim. That's why I need the ota to exclude truma. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon, and this we saw already 3 days ago, we saw this on Erev Shabbos by the Daf, we said that Rabbi Shimon believes that the word ota is used for something else. Why? Rabbi Shimon says, no, kodshei kodashim hi means literally kodshei kodashim and not kodshim kalim. What about the ota? He doesn't use that miyot for truma. What does he use the ota for? That was the argument on Rabbi Akiva. If you remember in the Mishnah, there was an argument on Rabbi Akiva whether something that had shata kosher, something that was once kosher and then later on became a pasul, does that item require kibbutz? Rabbi Akiva says yes. Rabbi Shimon said no. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva only had one miut. Rabbi Shimon had two miutim. What was the second miut? The word ota. The word ota uses a miut to tell you that whether the animal had shata kosher or did not have shata kosher, it does not require kibbutz. Whereas Rabbi Akiva said only no. Only one of them doesn't require. The one that had never had a shata kosher does not require. And therefore Rabbi Shimon believes kodshei kodashim, yes, nothing else. And the ota is used for the issue of kibbutz. Hashem Amir, kodshei kodashim tunim rikav shtiha. Kodshei kalim einim tunim rikav shtiha dichtiv. Kodesh kodashim. That's exactly what it says. Kodshei kodashim in, kodshim kalim lo. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda, it says mitzvah ota. Since you need a second mitzvah ota, the mutei truma mechalal the kodshei kalim tunim rikav shtiha. It's obvious that if you're remayed truma, that means that you must be including something else that is close to truma that would make you think truma is included. If you're already excluded kodshim kalim, then you never have to exclude truma. Because if kodshim kalim are excluded, it's certainly truma is excluded. So the fact that there is a second miut there indicates to me that kodshim kalim are really included. Again, it also says it's like this idea of mi ein miut achar miut elo l'rabot. Rabbi Shimon amar lecha, ota kidam rinon. that I use ota for what I said before, which is with the kibbutz, utruma lo bayi shtifa merika. And of course, truma doesn't require shtifa merika because kochim kalim don't require merika and shtifa. Vatanya, don't we have a bright there should bishel babasar lo yibashel bachalav vim bishel benotein tam. If you have a fleshik pot, you should not cook milchik items in a fleshik pot. And if you do cook these milchik items in a fleshik pot, then the question is a no tain tam question. Did the meat impart enough flavor to affect the chalav? Truma lo yivashel bachulim vim bishvel no tain tam. Truma, if you cook in the pot of a truma pot, then you have to worry about chulin. You have a truma pot, then you cook chulin in it. Does the chulin have a status of truma or not? Well, that depends on no tain tam. What do you see from here? You see from here that you need to kasher a pot that truma was cooked in. Well, if the problem by the copper pots that you require merika and shtifa for is a problem of bliya, of absorption, truma has the exact same problem. So why shouldn't truma require merika and shtifa? So the answer to the Gemara is three answers, three different amoraim, give three different answers here. Right, but the idea of truma could have been used in the Mikdash Kavi in Yerushalayim. I mean, truma is not just uniquely located in the Mikdash. It happens to be that you could also eat truma in the Mikdash.
But
chulin now, can Yisrael eat the chulin? They want to know, why don't you need merika and shtifa for truma in order to prevent the truma from being absorbed by chulin? So Amar Abaye, lo tricha el adam amar, bishel b'miksa kli, ta'on merika shtifa kol akli. No, the chiddush is that by kodshim, even if you use a portion of the kli, you have to do merika and shtifa over the entire kli. A truma, lo tzarich, ala makom bishul. Truma, you have to do merika and shtifa. You do have to get out the bli of the truma, but you don't have to do it in location where it was absorbed. The chiddush, or the gzeirat katuv by kodshim, is that you have to do the entire kli, not just a portion of the kli. That's a bias answer about the difference. Rav amar lo tzarich, ala damar mar. Bimayim velo biyayin. That when you do merika and shtifa, you have to do it with water and not with wine. Bimayim velo mazug. You have to do it with water and not with mazug, with a mixture, with a diluted wine. Ha, by truma, afilu biyayin, afilu bimazug. That you can use these other vehicles, these other liquids, other drinks in order to cleanse it out. Because by truma, the only thing we're worrying about is the absorption, the bliya. Worrying about the bliya, then all you need is any other thing that's heated in there. Any other liquid will take that tam out and remove it from the kli. That's sufficient with any liquid. On the other hand, in the mikdash, we require mikdash shtifa. Mikdash shtifa is a gezer takatuf that has to be done with mayim, has to be done with water. Rabba Barula gives a lesson. That merika shtifa can be done in cold. Ha afilu bichamin. Rabba Barula says that merika shtifa are done with cold water. Ha afilu bichamin. That's this truma. Even done with hot water. And then works well according to one who says merika and shtifa actually were cold water. The merika is done with hot water, and shtifa is done with tzonein. Then what do you say? Shtifa yeterta. There's extra rinse at the end. So now, this statement of Rabba Ba'ula is very important. The statement of Rabba Ba'ula says that everybody agrees that you need to do a kashering, you need to do a hagol of the kli. You need to create out. Even Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, who says that kodshim kalim do not require merika and shtifa, he agrees that you have to kasher the kli, you have to take out the flavor of the kodshim kalim. You have to do hagalah for that. So that's the answer here. The answer, Rabbi Rule, is that it's merika and shtifa, it's tzonein. That's all cold water. That has nothing to do with the hagalah. That has nothing to do with removing the flavor over here. The removal of the flavor is done by the hot hagalah. That you do with everything. The merika and shtifa is a separate gzera katuv of rinsing them out afterwards. That merika and shtifa is done with tzonein, with cold water. The Gemara says, wait, there's an opinion. We're going to see coming up here. The merika and shtifa are done with hot water. Well, if they're done with hot water, that is the hagalah. The Gemara says, no. The hagalah is that the merika is done bechamin. That's the hagalah. The shtifa is a rinse afterwards. After you finish the hagalah, you have to do rinse afterwards. That rinse is only necessary by kodshim. That's a gzera dakatu. By truma, well, all you require is hagalah. Or for Rabbi Shimon, by kodshim kalim, all you require is hagalah. You won't have to do that shtifa, that rinse afterwards. Tosfos asks here, he asks the same thing in Avodah Zarah. He says, what's going on here? Why do we have a minhag when we do algala? After we finish algala, we rinse out the kelim. Where does that minhag come from? Here the Gemara is explicit. You don't need to do the shtifa. He says, I don't know where that minhag is from. And so Tosfos and Avodah Zarah says the same thing. He says, I don't understand why we have this rinse here. He says, Rashi is clear that the shtifa yeterta here and in Avodah Zarah, that shtifa yeterta is only necessary by kodshim. It's not necessary by chulin. Why do we do it? So he says, the ishlo mod bikan is what does go here, that you don't have to do it. And in Avodah Zarah, he says the same thing. But in the end, he says, because we see that the minhag is this way, It says maybe we have to suggest here that the shtifta yuterta means a third rinsing. Means that Marigan shtifa is that hagala is the hot water, shtifa is the rinsing out afterwards, and shtifa yuterta is an additional rinse. That means by kosher you'll need two rinses. By everything else, you only need one rinse. And that'll explain why we today have the minhag that after hagala we do a rinse. I guess from the Marigan, we all assume that hagala always requires a shtifa, and the fact that the Torah now asks you to do another shtifa is a shtifa yeterta beyond the one of that comes after a normal hagala.